Good evening. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the center of our effort here. This is His church, and we're His followers. We were reminded this morning of a few very important things. I was particularly struck with the thought of self-denial and the need that we have to make public our beliefs and the things that we hope for. Tonight, I'd like to follow up on something that the Lord gave me to do. I think I've said in testimonies that that we get up in the morning and we spend 15 minutes doing our homework that Darren had given us some time ago. We have a reading for 5 minutes, and then we have prayer and we listen. So it's been a while ago now that we arrived at the book of John, chapter 17. And that I read that chapter that day, and I knelt in prayer. And while I was giving my attention to what God would want of me, I was told to build a sermon around that chapter and to keep doing that until I get other instructions, I guess. And so the people in Bemidji, Minnesota, heard a sermon built around that chapter. The people in Prairie, Tennessee, heard a sermon built around that chapter, and now it's your turn. I found that it was different each time, but this is really a very interesting, instructive, and beautiful prayer that Jesus made. It was as He was preparing to make the sacrifice that we remember every month, and it was to give a better understanding to those He had chosen, those seven He had chosen. He knew that when He was gone, they would have tough work to do. They were going to spread the gospel that He taught. Some would die before it was spread very far. In fact, it was the death of Stephen that caused the disciples there to spread into different places. Just what God wanted, for it to travel a greater distance and cover more peoples and get into among the cities of the Gentiles. There were other things that happened that caused the gospel to spread even further. And we see the hand of God in the way history has developed, the way things have happened over time. And don't we see that in our lives too? If we've lived very long anyhow, we see how things happen to us and around us and to others near us, and they make changes in what we do and how we think. As if God was fulfilling in me and in you things that He causes in the lives of others. And it's amazing when you think about that. Something has happened in your life and you have come around to where you must have God again, more fully. And you realize that you wouldn't be there at that place if it weren't for things that happened to others. Sometimes they're not nice things, but that's the way God seems to work. A lot of things in this prayer are beautiful and instructive, and they give us a vision for our own lives. I'm going to touch on a few of the points as I go along, and other things I'll kind of summarize. But basically, I'm going to teach you about Christ's prayer as recorded by John. So I'm going to read chapter 17 and make some comments and kind of analyze what that means for you and I, because it means a whole lot. These words spake Jesus, lifting up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I'm going to pause there because I look at my own life. I am 86 years old now, and I have many years to look back on. And I see that statement that Jesus made to his Father in heaven, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And I think it would be nice if I could say that too at some point. I have finished the work. And I thought more about that. What about today and tomorrow and next week? What has God for me to do tomorrow? Can I, at the end of the day tomorrow, say to my God, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do today? It's quite a thought. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We know that he was there at the creation. We know that we were created in the image of two, a spiritual being and a to-be physical being. And so he was there. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Wow. Am I one of those that God gave to Christ out of the world? I repented, and I went into the water of baptism. I made a commitment, a covenant with my God, to follow what his Son taught and to keep his commandments. And so I was given to him out of the world, and most of you likewise. And so he's kind of talking about us. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept my word. Now that's the question, isn't it? Have I kept his word? Have you kept his word? Going on, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Do we know that? Do I know that? Do I really know that? That whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Do I believe that? Do you believe that? That God sent Jesus into the world? Of course we do. We celebrate that every month, don't we? And have we received his word? Now there's a difference between hearing his word and receiving his word. I think that was made pretty plain too by Don this morning, that there's a difference. And he would characterize it as being a fan and otherwise, but I got the point. I really did. I was put very well. Jesus said this, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. If God gave me to him out of the world, if I believe his word, then he is praying for me when he prayed this prayer. And maybe he's prayed other prayers for me, I don't know. But he certainly was praying for those that were right there to hear him. He was praying for them. That was pretty plain. But there's more to it than that. If you look at his other prayer for his disciples in this country, in this hemisphere, that's chapter 9 of the third book of Nephi. A similar kind of prayer, but much shorter. On page 656, you'll find that prayer beginning. And it's verse 28. And he turned from them again and went a little way off and bowed himself to the earth. And he prayed again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these which I have chosen because of their faith. And I pray for them, and also for them which shall believe on their words. So not just for them, but for them that shall believe on their words. We study these words, we hear them in sermons, we read them. Do we take these words into our hearts? Do we really believe these words? If we do, he prayed for us when he prayed for them. And he said, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as they are purified in me. Further, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given unto me out of the world because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that we may be glorified in them. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again unto his disciples, and behold, they did pray steadfastly. He didn't stop there. He also went and prayed again. But the concept is the same. He prayed for those he had chosen, but he also prayed for those who heard their words and believed their words. Starting at verse 10 again on 17 in John. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I had to think about that a bit. You have to sort of contemplate that. But put that in our own picture right now, where we are now. And he says, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Is Jesus Christ glorified in us? Think about that. We can go the other way. We can choose things that do not glorify him at all. And maybe we have some time to time. And we repent of those things. But how deep is this? I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given to me, that they may be one as we are one. What is the oneness between Jesus and his Father? It's expressed in a few places. And I'm going to touch some of those places a little later. But are we one as they are one? I thought about that. I prayed about that. There are scriptures we can read. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's another whole subject. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Do we have his joy fulfilled in us? What makes Christ joyful? Do I make him joyful? Do you? I think there's a lot of things we have to think about there. How do we make Christ joyful? I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them. World hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. He wants us where we are, in the world. He wants his apostles of that time to be like that. He wants you and I to be like that, in the world, but not in the evil of the world. Keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth." Do you believe that? Is all of the word of God truth? I sure hope so, because there's so much that's false in the world and around us, and sometimes it's portrayed as being the word of God, and it's false. And we have to be careful. What are we going to trust? Are we in the word? Yes. The word is truth. And we need to stick with that truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Have you ever thought about that? By being in the word, the reward to you and to me is to be sanctified. Sanctified. Pure. Purity of thought comes through the thoughts we get out of the word. There are lots of other things, other thoughts that come to us that are impure. I guarantee. We have to avoid them. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." He's speaking of those he chose, the 11 who survived to the time of his resurrection. And they were in the world, and he chose them, and he sent them. And they went out, and they did the miracles they did. They suffered the things they suffered. They were imprisoned. They were beat. Some of them were killed. Well, this all was going on, and all of them, except one, ended up giving their lives for him. So he sent them. Does he send you and I with the same instruction? I think he does. And that is to rely on the truth, which is his word. And to be one, even as he and his Father are one. I want to say more about that later. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And there we go again. And we read it. We read their word all the time. The four Gospels, that's their word. The things in the book of Acts, the things that they wrote in their letters to the various churches, those things are things that he gave to you and I through them. We're covered by this prayer. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." The world may believe that thou hast sent me. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast," let's see, I lost that, "that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." On Wednesday night, I sang a song. I said, sometimes it pays to be bold. And I belted one out. And the song had things in it about a mansion waiting for me and glory, about accepting the glory of Christ in the hereafter, by like being a king and being with the king, you know, being with him. And sometimes I see a song like that and I think, oh, well, these are fine, very overstated things. And it's fine to sing them, but you know we're not being exact with this. We're just kind of overblowing it, so we'll feel good about it. But you know that's not really true. Those things, maybe they're symbolic, but those things are true. We do have this word in his own prayer. "I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, what is that glory? Well, it may not be exactly what the song says, but it's just as wonderful. "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." When I read this, I think about what he started out with, how he started out with the Nephites when he revealed himself to them. And I'm going to go back there to 3 Nephi chapter 5 and read some of this language, because it is so like what I just read in that prayer. I am on page 634 in the Book of Mormon, and I'm going to start with verse 32. "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father in me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of the earth." It also says, "And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my doctrine, that I bear record of it from the Father, and whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also, bearing record." The Father bearing record, the Holy Spirit bearing record, and they bearing record of each. What is this, anyhow? Do we bear record of each other? What is this? It is the relationship between Father and Son, in this case, between the Father, the Creator of all the universe, and His Son He sent to die for us. There's a relationship, and it's one that speaks of each other, one that identifies each other, one that possesses each other. It's a very close relationship. You can't match it with any other human relationship, with any human relationship, but we can try. I want to go to 1 John and read more about this. Let's try chapter 4 first. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 15. "Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." As Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is with his Father, so are we with him. As Jesus was with his Father, so are we with his Father. It's a relationship. And they're witnessing of each other. They are, that's not the right word, what do I need here? They are making record of each other. They are loving each other. But it's a closeness that can't hardly be expressed in words. Maybe that's why it comes out in several different words in the scripture. But it comes down to what I just read. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Confessing that to everyone. Just like Don spoke of this morning. Confessing it by our actions, by our words, by what we tell of our hope and our beliefs. What we show, what we advertise. We're going to advertise something. Wherever we're around other people, they will look at us, they will hear us, they will get something out of that. They will make an opinion. They will have a thought about us. What thought do we want them to have? I hope we can give the thought that there is a righteous person There is a person that is sanctified. There is a person that has purity in his heart. If we can do that, and they also know that we believe in Jesus Christ, then we've really accomplished something. And we have done that witnessing that we're expected to do. We would have fulfilled what Jesus was praying for in that prayer, in the other prayer that I read. I want to go back through some of the items of that prayer, and let's call this a kind of list of things to keep in mind. And so I can get my page to turn back. Just looking at the prayer, I find these things. Jesus talked about winning over the flesh, having power over the flesh. He was born a child, grew up a child. He knew the temptations of mankind. He had to face them. He had to face adversity. He had to overcome all of the jibes that were thrown at him, all the efforts on the part of the scribes and Pharisees to turn his words around. And he won. He won the fight. Can we have that power over the flesh? We don't do very well sometimes, but that is our aim, right? That's why we're here. That's why we're talking about this, so that we can be armed with that spirit that it takes, with that purification, with that power that comes from Him, with what we get by having Him in us. And we in Him. And I raised a bit of a challenge for us. He said, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. We can look at that and say, yes, Jesus did that. He hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he was there again. He rose from the dead and was seen again. And he even went and taught in other places. And we know that he did finish the work he was given to do. But do I finish the work that I'm given to do? That's the question I have to have, and you too. And if we do it day by day by day, we're going to be successful to a much greater extent than if we say, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I have some things to do that we'll get at later. But we behave like that, don't we? I sure do. And a very important thing, I think if nothing else is remembered out of this sermon by me, it is that I need to say day by day by day, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. When we make a baptism covenant with our God, we're sanctified. I remember that little while that I was in under the water, and I felt warm in the cold water, and I felt things leaving me. I really felt that. Something bad left me, and I came out of there feeling pure. And I like that feeling. You know, I'm glad that I'm reminded of it from time to time, because I need to feel it more often. That's the sanctified feeling. In my memory, anyhow, that's the sanctified feeling. I want to have it again and again and again. I get it when I know that I have overcome something that has been in the way of my spiritual connection with God. And it comes back to me. And the words. Have I received the words of truth? I want to say yes, I've received all the words of truth. But there are other words that come along sometimes and kind of turn me away, and I forget what I was going to do or what I should be thinking because of those. So I have to come back to that word, and coming back to that word frequently is a very good idea And many times in my life, I haven't done it frequently enough. I have to come back to the words of truth to remind me that the other words I've been hearing were not truth. They don't sanctify me, but these words do. And the thought that Jesus prayed for his disciples, and indirectly he was praying for me because I go to their words and I expect them to help me. He prayed for those, in both the prayers I mentioned, he prayed for those who would learn and come to him through their words. I hope that some of my words can go down that list, that somebody could hear my words and they would be sanctified too. Not that I can do what Jesus did, but that the same words repeated over and over again, coming to us over and over again, will be sanctifying, even if they come to me through some other human being. And that's one of the reasons we come here, isn't it? On Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, and other times. We're here to hear those words funneled down to us through those Jesus has chosen to do this. Words of truth. They sanctify us. Jesus said that. They sanctify us. He kept saying it, that they may be one as we are one. One as we are one. One. I want to go to 1 John again. This time to chapter 2. And let's see. I must just start at verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to so walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. Well, yeah, it's an old commandment, heard from the beginning. But this comes down to me. If I keep his commandments, and I know him and keep his commandments, then I'd better keep his commandments. Because if I don't, I'm a liar, it says so right here. I don't want to be in the world as a liar. I want to be in the world as one who has the words of truth, so that I can help others to see the words of truth. And in him is verily is the love of God perfected. Is the love of God perfected in me? Hereby know we that we are in him. So how are we in God? We are in God and God is in us. It's very clear here. If we keep his commandments, if we know his truth, if we have that love, which I read about in the fourth chapter of 1 John, whosoever confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. This is how we have that oneness, that they are one, that even as Jesus and his Father are one, we are one among each other. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And there's more about one here. I really like reading this. There is one body. We take that to be the church, don't we? There's one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and listen to this, and in you all. For unto every one of us unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we have that gift of Christ if we want it. We can reject it. We can say, I got my own stuff to do, don't need him. But I hope that nobody here does that. Because if we accept him, as he prayed we would accept him, we will be sanctified. And we will be able to say, I have done that work which thou hast sent me to do in our own lives. The word is truth. We're sanctified by that behavior. I noticed that in the ninth chapter of 3 Nephi, where those that Jesus had chosen were waiting for him to return again. He had been with them. It's recorded in the eighth chapter that he had the sacrament with them, and then the little children were there, and they were surrounded with fire, and the angels came and worked with them, and Jesus took them one by one and blessed them. And what a wonderful scene that was. And the people, then he left, and he said he'd be back the next day. And so the people were just in a frenzy about that. They just wanted to make sure everybody got there. And they spent the night making sure everybody would get there on the next day. And he, when he did appear to them, he gave the prayer that I read before about those he had chosen. But there is even more to that. I'm looking for something specific here I didn't have in my notes. Let's see. Starting at the beginning of the chapter, and now it came to pass that when Jesus had ascended unto heaven, the multitude did disperse, and every man did take his wife and children, and did return to his own home. And it was noised abroad among the people, immediately before it was yet dark, that the multitude had seen Jesus, and that he had ministered unto them, and that he would also show himself on the morrow unto the multitude. Yea, and even all night it was noised abroad concerning Jesus, and insomuch that they sent forth unto the people that there were many, yea, an exceeding great number, did labor exceedingly all that night, that they might be on the morrow in the place where Jesus should show himself unto the multitude. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the multitude was gathered together, behold, Nephi, I'll get there yet, behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also it lists the names of the 12 he had chosen. I won't do that now. Verse 5, and it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude, and behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. So there they were, all separated into 12 bodies. Each of the 12 was preaching to one large group. Can you picture that? And the 12 did teach the multitude, and behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth. They should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. Now here's my point. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given to them. After that, they went on to baptize each other. But nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken. Can you imagine if we divided our church up into 12 groups, and each of those was being preached to by one of God's chosen, that those 12 would all speak exactly the same words which Jesus had chosen? unto them. I want to say yes. I really hope so. But I'm saying this because I want to point out the difficulty of that by the power which is in me or other men. We need that sanctifying word of truth. We need it. The sanctifying word of truth. That's why Jesus prayed about that to his Father in heaven. Before those disciples he had chosen in the Holy Land. And he did the same thing with these whom he had chosen. Nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken. What a burden that puts on me. And everyone who is called to preach this word. Nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken. And I take that seriously. I'm sure that all the rest of us do as well. The word is truth. They taught the words, nothing varying. There was a great concern among those who were the original 12 apostles. One way I can emphasize that is to go to Ephesians again, this time to chapter 3. And I'll start at verse 14. This is also a prayer. This is a prayer by Paul. He's praying for the Ephesians, for the church at Ephesus. Can you imagine this if he were praying for the church in Independence at the temple lot? I think it applies. Listen to this prayer. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, there's that indwelling again. Dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That was Paul's prayer for them and also for us, for you and for I. There are lots of prayers in the scripture. And many of them are very specific in what they intend to do. But I'd like you to go to that 17th chapter of John and read that for yourselves over and over again. Because it lays down for us what Jesus was thinking, what he wanted them to know and what he wanted them to teach us and what he wanted us to know through them. Just also what he wants us to know through every one of us who has the calling to preach these words. I'll read part of this again. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now I read there, sending them into the world. I think of the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and baptize and teach them. But that's not all, because he's sending all of us into the world, not just the ministry. All of us are sent into the world, and we're sent sanctified by his word, if we'll let that happen. And he will sanctify us. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So you see there, we're all covered. No one can say, well, not me, that's the ministry. Or not me, that's the apostles. We're all there. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Will anyone believe, you or I, if we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we don't show it, and we don't have that love, and we don't have that same connection between each other that Jesus and his Father had between them? That very deep and complete love. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. How deeply do we love him? We do it by being one with each other, the way he and his Father were one. The challenge is that we may be like him. Thank you.